Welcome into the Hoffman Show. That's a podcast because sometimes there's more than we can get to on the radio. And well, that's a podcast. My guest today is someone that I've known. Jamie, we've known each other for more than a decade. We're old now. When did this happen?
I know. Were we not just cruising around downtown Bristol, Connecticut, which we probably shouldn't have been doing? What was that? 2009?
No, it was 2011. 2011.
2011. Yes. Right. 2011. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wow. We've known each other a long time. That's a point of pride.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. I'll take it for sure. Intern class from ESPN 2011, better known now as the brand new host of Good Morning Football. It is Jamie Erdahl. Jamie, it is great to see you. Of course, want to talk football with you.
Yes.
But I also do want to get into a little bit of your story and like how you've wound up at this place where you are now hosting this incredibly popular show. I can think back to when we first met and like seeing how talented you were back then, being like, this is not a surprise to me remotely.
Thank you.
But I do remember, if we're just going to dive right in.
Yes.
I do remember vividly a conversation that we had. I think it was in the parking lot of a hardware store as one of our friends like ran inside to go get something.
Yeah.
And talking about that you weren't sure at that stage, going into our senior years of college, that you wanted to get into being an on-air person because being a woman in this business can be brutal. Being in this business in general can be brutal. And you just weren't at that point convinced that like this is a career path that I want to pursue despite how talented you were and how bright your future was in it. When did you ultimately decide like, yeah, I'm going to try this out? And have there been points along the way where you've looked back and been like, yeah, that was a good decision.
Well, you have a good memory because I too remember that conversation. And I also remember that feeling that I had at that age. And I think what that was stemming from, honestly, was we were at ESPN at the time and we were watching a lot of on-air talent operate. And I was watching a lot of the women. And it was a very intimidating setting for me to be in at the time because there's a lot that goes along with being on air. And I think I was seeing some of the parts that I just wasn't sure about if I wanted to commit to that, whether it be always being concerned about like hair, makeup, what you're wearing on the air. Like, you know me, I'm like kind of a tomboy. Like I like to keep it casual, if you will. And that part of the lifestyle of the job was really hard for me to project and think that I wanted to be a part of. Now, what I didn't struggle with was whether or not I wanted to be in sports television. And you and I both know more than anybody, it's like that internship summer at ESPN can be addicting or it can be like, I want nothing to do with this industry. And you and I have right. definitely gone down the addicting path of like, this is, we want nothing. We can't do anything else. Like, this is the only thing that I could do with my life at this point. And so really my struggle there was, do I want to be on air or do I want to be a producer and do I want to produce content and be, you know, be doing cutting highlights for SportsCenter? I mean, that's the stuff that like fired us up at the time. And I just always wanted to be around sports. And I just was always worried that if you got into being some high level on air talent, not that, you know, 10 years ago, I was projecting myself to be that. It was more that like, I was scared it was going to like ruin me essentially. Like how, you know, I wanted to stay true to myself and I was nervous that there were parts of the job that just weren't meant for my personality, but I'm really proud of how I've been able to kind of make it my own. And the fact that I have found myself in this job today that I can wear like jeans and sneakers and I'm like making fun of my co-hosts. We're like ripping about football and fantasy football. And it's just like, I can't believe I have like found this thing that just is so true to myself.
Yeah. I'm also curious this because like we obviously have both had paths that have led us to pretty cool places. I have a daily show now. You're doing Good Morning Football. Not to put those things on equal footing. Like Good Morning Football is pretty freaking cool. but like you also, I think like you've been married for how long now? Like five, 6 years?
5 years.
At this
five,
point?
Yeah.
Like you found a great guy, got yep. married. You have two little ones. Yep. I obviously don't have that same experience. I'm getting married in 15 days and have no children. But you talk about that like humility element of it, right? Like that kind of groundedness and not losing a part of yourself.
Yep.
How has that part, not that I'm like asking you to talk extensively about your personal yep. life, but just like in a general sense, like how has your marriage and having someone at home to go home to, and obviously there's nothing more humbling than children. How have the two little ones helped you kind of keep that even as your career has now continued to rise?
Yeah, I've been really lucky to find a partner that he briefly worked in football. He was an agent for a minute and we weren't even, he was out of the industry by the time we got together, but to have someone that worked in just remotely involved in what I do now, the level of understanding he has for the lifestyle that I have had to endure in our time together. I tell everybody when I took the Good Morning Football job, Sam and I have been together for 8 years, and he has never known me to not have a football game on the weekend to do sideline four in the fall. In 8 years, right. I've always had a game. And so this is such a true just moment for us in our relationship to like exist on the weekends in the fall is like unbeknownst to us. And I just credit him so much for just never making me feel like it wasn't me going to the airport is like a Monday morning for, and that's how he treated it for me. And sometimes I needed to be regulated that way to not roll my eyes at the job and think he's just like, go to work. You got to go to work. So, kids, there is nothing more humbling than coming home after like a walk-off interview moment at the Iron Bowl, and you are like riding high, your interview's getting retweeted left and right, your Instagram followers are soaring, and you like walk into two kids under two and haven't slept, and you haven't slept, and everyone's diaper needs to be changed, and Sam has been like a total warrior at home on a Saturday by himself with these two, and I just am like, okay, nothing matters what I did last night in Auburn. Everything matters right here in this house. So they don't really have the awareness yet that I do what I do. But what's really, really special about this job now is that I told my 3-year-old that I get to put the suitcase away, and she gets it, you know, and I just had this sense for myself. We were entering this really hard phase of life where they were going to become an age where they understood what it meant, that the cadence, and it doesn't stop, the travel Thursday, come back Sunday, travel Thursday, come back Sunday. And they start looking at you a certain way. It's like my dog looks at me that way. And it's like about as much guilt as I can take in terms of leaving the house. So this was such a great lifestyle shift for us all. But I credit Sam so much for just never making me feel like I shouldn't go do the job.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. Good job, Sam.
Yeah,
good job.
Good job, Sam.
The lifestyle of a morning show host, though, is not exactly the easiest transition. Is someone who used to anchor mornings back when I was in Dallas. Like, I thought I got used to it, and then when I switched off that shift, I realized how quickly my body like adjusted back, and it was like, no. Like, this is better not to wake up at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
How have you adjusted to the morning life so far? And you know, being on, not just like on functional by the time you guys hit the air, but like on television, on hosting with energy, a really high energy show by 7 a.m. every day.
So a couple things that help it is that because it's 5 days a week, I feel like the snowball effect of like your knowledge and what you're ingesting in terms of the content, like it's not like it's one day a week and you're trying to like retain all this information, study. It's like you can't help but just have it like kind of pick up off of each other from the day-to-day life. Having kids again helps this. Like I have, my sleep has been interrupted for 3 years at this point, like since having my first child. So it was like, no.
So that's nice.
Yeah. I mean, this job was essentially meant for somebody that has tiny kids because like they're just like ripe to like ruin your sleep. So it really was no, it's an incredible, I love it. I wake up at 4:45 and granted 3 weeks on the job, check in 3 years to say if I still love it, but like, let's just, you know, let's make sure we keep it in check. But I love it. I get out of bed at 4:45. I'm in the car at 5:00. I don't look great, I'll be honest with you. And by the time 7:00 rolls around, because of the wonderful people that work behind the scenes there, I look great and I'm ready to talk about football. And a lot of the work is done the night before, unless it's a game night. But a lot of the work is done, that the creative stuff, answering questions, sending in ideas. So by the time I'm in the car from like 5 to 5:30, you know, I'm just kind of reviewing essentially what my arguments are. The beautiful part about this show too is just like how ridiculous Peter and Kyle are. And that like, you don't have to have everything nailed down in your head about what you're going to say, because something is going to come up and it might even be something that you yourself say, and then they jump on it and then it takes on a mind of its own. So being comfortable with the fact that not every minute is scripted, I think, is a skill set in and of itself, but it also helps you not feel so bogged down by the fact that like, oh God, here we go, 3 hours of television. Like, you watch it, the show stays fresh. We have guests on. It's, if you love football and you're just like this, you're just swimming in it, it actually ends up just becoming a part of your daily vernacular.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've experienced that since getting the Daily Show, and as opposed to doing like weekend and night shows sporadically, like just being in it every day.
Yes.
Like that is your studying. And it's funny, you actually just spurred something from the internship that I remember, and talking to some of the higher ups at ESPN. Like obviously when you're an intern, you try to network yourself and all that kind of stuff. And at the time, it was kind of when they were expanding SportsCenter out to these longer blocks. And they said, like, we actually look for people with some radio experience, because being live for 3 hours a day takes a stamina and like an ability to not have everything scripted that a lot of straight TV people don't have. And I'm curious how you kind of have adjusted to that, because sideline reporting is similar. That's actually one of the similar, I think, skill sets in television, because you can't go into a game with a script because you don't know what's going to happen in the game. So how did the sideline reporting and some of the other things you have done prepare you for a host role of a 3 hour free flowing show?
So definitely thinking on the fly, doing stuff that's unscripted is a part of the sideline reporter's job. Unfortunately, what's also part of the sideline reporter's job is to talk in like 12 to 18 second snippets. And that was really starting to get to me. I understand the need. I understand that you shouldn't talk over a play. You know, you shouldn't talk over a snap. Don't talk over when the guy's dribbling in the backcourt. It's like, I get it. All right. But it just, you know, I was becoming like more and more envious of like Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson just like chopping it up in the booth, because I'm like, dang, that looks fun. Like I can do that. I can do it when I'm sitting in the car. I can do it when I'm sitting at the bar. I'm rhyming. I can just do it. So I tell my bosses now, like, there's no putting the genie back in the bottle. Like, no one's going to be able to shut me up now. Like we have hit this stride already 3 weeks in. Like, and watching Peter and Kyle do it is actually so fascinating. The way that if we're told to stretch, like that is like the gift that we all have, is like, just keep going and keep using more words and say the same thing, but say it differently. And sideline reporting is a skill that I'm so happy I have. I think I'm pretty good at it, but the length of time that you are allowed or not allowed to talk can get really frustrating at times.
So what was your reaction and kind of what happened when you got word that Good Morning Football was a possibility? Like, how did that come about? Obviously, Kay was super popular and was doing a great job, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, Kay Adams is going to leave Good Morning Football.
Yeah.
When did you find out that you replacing her was a possibility? And then what was your reaction when you found out you got the job?
So we have the same agent. And so okay. He, obviously, before, I guess anybody else did, probably is the best way to say it. And he, you know, to make long story short, to mention Sam again, his work takes him to New York a lot, and he was gone. His travel was picking up just so much after travel was allowed again. And so Josh Levy called me and said, he told me, what if I said your name in a meeting for a show that would bring you to New York City? How would you feel about that? And I was like, I think Sam had been gone for like 10 days at this point, like hadn't seen the girls, you know, it was just really, really challenging. And I was like, that'd be great. And so he's like, oh, well, Kay's going to leave Good Morning Football. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like my immediate reaction, I'm really not trying to like boost myself up, was like, I couldn't do that job. I know I could do the job, but I didn't immediately think that I would be like the most qualified for it. Mostly because having been away from the NFL for a few years, I just could think of so many other women that are in the NFL world that would be great. But kind of when I had that gut feeling of like, why would they pick me? It made me want to go after it even harder. And, you know, a lot of conversations had to be had with various executives from various networks and whatnot. But the point being, it is an absolute unicorn of a show. CBS was incredibly gracious to allow me to go do this show. And let me grow this way. And I'm so grateful for them for doing that. So when I found out I got it, I was just like, oh, giddy up, man. Like, there is just back now. Like, because it's also this thing, Craig, where like I was going through these meetings and I'm like hearing about the show and the nature of the show and having watched it. And it's like, it's not really an interview process as much as it is like you're trying to convince them that you are the right person for the job. And so I'd get off the Zoom and I'd be like, I think I was pretty damn convincing there. Like I would hire me, you know? And so, so then I was like building myself up enough that like, man, the letdown would have been so frustrating. So I was so thrilled. And then the hard work began, really. Like, we had to move in like 6 weeks' time, find a place to live, whatever, get childcare set up. That was the hard part. I thought it was hard to get the job. The hard part was like doing the job.
Right. Right. And not just doing the job, getting life in order so that you can do the job.
Yeah. Right. And not acting like a fool when I get up there, because like I said, it had been 4 years since I had done NFL sideline. You know, some of the characters have stayed the same, but you know, the coaches and the coordinators, my God, it was like spider webs across the NFL. I couldn't believe how much movement there had been since I was there last. So it was a really cool moment for me professionally. I'm so happy it worked out the way it did.
Yeah, definitely. So you actually now touched on something that I wanted to get to in terms of the personnel, which is you have different coordinators, different coaches, things. But I would imagine after so many years in the SEC, considering how many players that conference sends to the NFL, you're seeing a lot of familiar faces. So what's it been like to all of a sudden be talking about the same players you were talking about previously now in their NFL roles? Does that come up a lot, or is it something that, like, oh, every once in a while it's like, oh yeah, I remember when I talked to him at Alabama, Florida, wherever?
Totally. Every day, pretty much every day, I say in a break, am I talking too much about these SEC guys? I say it to Peter and Kyle, and they both look at me and they're like, no, the the angle you have from it is unlike anyone else that could provide this insight. And it's not like I'm trying to drive home a point from like a school or a conference where you're like rolling your eyes. Like, we get it. You went to that school. Like, I don't even go to a school in the SEC. Like, legitimately, they're everywhere. Like, you can't not, like, look at a roster, or like if we have like a category of guys and we have to pick a guy to talk about, like, normally any position, one of the guys is going to be from the SEC, and one of those guys is had I covered in the last 4 years. So I'm almost like more cognizant of it than I think. They love hearing it. I'm nervous that I'm overdoing it. But you can't help it. They're so talented. Like, I can't, it's inevitable. And it is, I mean, it's, I love it. Like, that Alabama wide receiver group that's come out over the last couple of years. I mean, those guys are so talented. And then to have, you know, Tua and Mac and Jalen, I mean, it was just like, it's ridiculous to think that those teams were as good as they were. Oh my God. And the Georgia defensive guys, they're everywhere. I mean, it's like, it's insane. It's insane.
You don't got to tell me, like, we got Allen, we got Payne, we got, like, we got all these dudes. They just drafted Fidarian Mathis.
Yes.
Like, literally half the Commanders.
I love Phil Mathis. Oh my gosh.
Tell us more about Phil Mathis.
He came in last year on their senior night. And so we met with a bunch of the guys, and he is just, his personality takes up the whole room. I mean, he is one of the most personable, bright, biggest smiles, committed to the game, great teammate, but just like, you want to sit and talk with him for an hour and just chop it up. And he's like, not a guy where like it has to be about him all the time. Like, we legitimately, like, Gary was telling stories, Phil was asking him about stories. It was just like, it was just one of those conversations where he left the room, we were like, that's a great guy right there. And you really want him to succeed. And I feel the same in your division about N'Kobe Dean. Like, I was heartbroken for him that he fell as far as he did. I was thrilled for any team that was going to get him. Kirby Smart said, best hands in the SEC. All right, you know, that might be a little extreme, but he has to say that.
A college football coach exaggerating a little bit? No,
right,
way.
Exactly. You know, so like a Phil Mathis, like, I am such a fan. I was, again, it was just any team he went to, he was going to make the room better.
Yeah, definitely. And he's got some familiar faces in that room, as we were saying. And I do want to talk some actual football with you here in a second. But last kind of like larger picture type of thing. What is the biggest difference for you covering, besides the role that you're in, but covering college football, the way you talk about it, the way you engage with it versus covering the NFL?
Well, I mean, when I was sideline reporting for the NFL or for college football, it was just so, you know, it's like telling their stories and reporting on the facts, reporting on injuries, you know, things that the coaches told us. This show is totally like what I think. And it has like helped me flex a muscle that I haven't had to in a long time. You know, you have to do it. You have to be fact-based, and you can't just go out like throwing out insane things to say because people are going to stop listening to you pretty quickly. But to just think, like, really, you know, really think about, like, which team in the AFC West will not make the playoffs? And you're like, man, I really got to think about that one. And I'm allowed to have a different thought than Jason McCourty. And I can have reasons behind it. And it's just the freedom in which my brain is allowed to go to now, like in the football world, is so fun and creative. I assume it's something you feel just with the freedom in radio to be able to like have your independent thoughts, back them up, have the confidence in saying them. And I just, it's not something I've done. I did it once in a while, but to do it every day. And then also sprinkle in, we have great guests on the show. It's just a, such like a fun utility player role that I cannot wait. I'm so happy in it right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. And definitely like I can relate to that, because I remember I won't give away too much because it was a conversation between me and my boss at the time. And that would probably not be great because he's still my boss. But like I remember getting a call from my boss after I put out an opinion about a story when I was the beat reporter for our station, and being like, I'm not paying you to be like, I know you have opinions. I'm not saying you can't have them, but I'm not paying you to tweet them. I'm paying you to report on the facts. And now, you know, having a conversation with him today about like how I'm going to shape my opinion and different things of that I'm considering talking about on the show is a completely different and freeing conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, eventually I think it's kind of natural too. And you kind of understand the classical newspaper progression of like beat reporter to columnist. Now we obviously do this in radio, television, respectively, but you do it long enough, you accumulate enough knowledge. Eventually you want to tell people kind of what you think about what is happening as opposed to just what is happening.
Yes, absolutely. And I think I've said this on a couple different conversations. Like I probably could have tried to convince somebody that I could have done this job 5 years ago and I probably would have been all right at it. But I needed to be 33 years old to do this job. I needed to be in television for 10 years to work in New England, to work at CBS for as long as I did, for doing all the different stuff that I did to be able to do this job. And that's what, you know, I think about people who are younger that like could have gotten it or think they should have gotten it. And it's just like, you can't take away experience from anybody. And, you know, that's really, I think, what makes me feel so comfortable in the chair and confident in what I'm saying and really kind of give no care in the world, if you will, about like what people are saying about it on Twitter or whatever. I find it so comical. It's like, whatever. I know my stuff. I don't have to listen to you.
the not caring what people think on Twitter part, that's something I could not have done at 25. Something I've gotten fairly good at.
Yes, exactly.
At 32.
Yes.
All right. So let's give some opinions. Let's get some takes. Let's fire it up. Yeah. How much are the Commanders on your guys' radar on a national level right now?
Well, Mike Garofolo was just in on our show today, and he picked that game as the one he wanted to watch this weekend. He had been at training camp, so I think he knows those guys pretty well. But we had Jahan Dotson on the show this week, and wow, what a bright and interesting young man, and just really looks like he, again, we actually, in the interview, we talked with him about just how comfortable he looks, like physically on the screen. He just looks like he belongs in a place, and we played this clip of him on the show pre-draft, and he looked just uptight, shoulders were in his ears, and he was trying to sell himself to one of the 32 teams, trying to get hired. And I get that. But now he's at training camp and he's wearing his team gear, and he was talking so highly of his relationship that he has with Carson Wentz now and the potential there. And I think, you know, the NFC East is just like, what is happening? Like it is up for grabs. It is up for grabs. There's potential there for any team to run away with it.
Do you actually, like, I agree with you, and that's why I'm going to ask this question this way. Like, do you actually like any of the teams in the NFC East, or you just think someone's going to wind up winning it because someone has to?
No, I didn't say no to I don't like any of the teams. I was thinking, do you remember, you'll know this better than, you'll have better memory of this than I do. What year was it? 2-3 years ago, like, was it the Commanders won the NFC East like with like a 10-11? What was the record? It was like
they were 7-9. It was Ron's first year. It was that 2020 COVID season. Like they won it at 7-9.
What is happening? Like down the stretch, like it was like those comical like playoff scenarios that people like speculate and then it never actually pans out. Like that happened, I feel like, in the NFC East a couple of years ago. And I kind of feel like maybe not 7-9 because, like, I think the teams are better this year. But I kind of think the NFC East, like, is going to be a bloodbath. Like, because all the teams are kind of, like, right here with each other. They're not great teams, but they are level playing field in the division in particular.
No, I agree with that. Like, outside of the Giants, who I think are a step down from everyone else.
Yeah.
Like, is there a scenario where Brian Daboll is the right guy for Daniel Jones? Although watching preseason last night, like, I didn't really elevate my hopes at all for that.
Yeah.
But like, outside of the Giants, I do genuinely think that like this is a division that's up for grabs between yes. three teams. Injury luck is going to play a huge role because
yep.
it always does. And Lord knows, because like the Cowboys, I thought were definitively the best team last year, and I think they took a step back losing yep. Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
And then the Eagles, like if Jalen's good, like I don't know. It's just it's a weird division, and it seemingly is always a weird division.
It's like if you made a pros and cons list about every team in the division, like the Cowboys, the Eagles, and the Commanders would, I think, would have like two each, two pros, two cons. And then the Giants do have like a few more cons, I think, than the rest of them. But like, they're all just kind of equally, they have issues. They're not all the same issues. But it will be really interesting in terms of like, because like one of them is going to the playoffs, regardless of how ugly it is.
Yeah. At least one of them, yeah. And we'll see what happens in the rest of the NFC. All right, last couple of things yeah. for you. What's your favorite or like most interesting storyline that you guys have been following that you are curious to see how it plays out this season? Is there like a thing that you just love talking about right now more than anything else?
Tua, again, to show my Alabama bias.
They sent you there a lot.
I really hope.
With good reason, but they sent you there a lot.
I really did. Yeah, I really hope he just shows people up. I mean, regardless of what he's going to turn into. And I haven't quite landed on what kind of like historical quarterback he is going to be, like in terms of his career. But this season, everything that has been said about him, everything that he has gone through injury wise, coming into this team, coaching change, I really, really hope he just balls out this season. Cause like, I'm kind of sick of people just like being on his case about like not fulfilling the prophecy in which he was supposed to for the Miami Dolphins. So we've been talking a lot of Tua, and I really do believe that I think he is just ripe to just like prove some people wrong, because that's not the Tua that I know, and it's not the one that I saw. And he's got potential more than anything that people have seen in the NFL.
All right, last thing, I'm going to be selfish.
Okay.
Marriage advice. Your favorite, like your go-to favorite marriage advice. You go to a wedding, you fill out the little card that the yeah. bride and groom put out. I'm going to start asking everybody that's married this over the next 2 weeks. You get to be the first one.
Okay. Do you guys fight? Like, do you bicker?
Not very often. We actually don't. We're actually very good about being pretty level-headed. Wow. Like, when there's something to talk about, we'll talk about it. But okay. bickering, I mean, I'm not saying it's never going to happen, but right. we're actually pretty good about that.
This might sound lame, but like, and this is kind of like a life thing, but I think it's really important in marriage is just like, cause I'm teaching my 3-year-old manners right now, but, mm-hmm. Saying thank you, it will never,
that's great.
Will never, get old, I think.
I love that.
Yeah. So, you know, like we're living in, like you heard, you know, before we're living in this like temporary apartment with these two little kids and this huge dog. And it's just like, it's a challenge right now, to say the least. And like, and I understand that I did it to us. And so every once in a while, just a quick, like, thank you for tolerating this situation, you know, is helpful. And I probably will, after this podcast, call him and tell him again. So yeah, just say thank you. And it can be so random. Open the door or whatever. Oh, thank you for doing that. Yeah. Thank you.
I love that. That's great. Cool. What a start to my marriage advice, parade over the next 2 weeks. Continued success with the show. Good luck getting moved into the house, since you Thank mentioned you. It. And we will talk soon, my friend. I certainly hope absolutely. That we can do this again as you continue to settle in to the role over the course of the season.
Thank you. I appreciate you. You're the best.
The Hoffman Show. Weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.